Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Grammy Museum Mississippi invites you to visit the Music America, iconic objects from America's music history, supported by Visit Mississippi and the Mississippi Humanities Council. Go to GrammyMuseumMS.org to learn more.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, friends and neighbors. Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. Thank you so very, very much for deciding that this was the morning you needed to have me in your ear. Now, you can have me in your ear any morning that you like. Someone this week, who's listened a few times, said, so where are all of these things? I said, well, I can't do it as well as Lance, but I will go supertalk.fm and you can get to everything from there. Is that correct, sir? Good morning.
I like the web browser a lot. I mean, the app is extremely handy to have, but sometimes you want to just go to a certain station or something. And you can go there. But yeah, we're everywhere, you know, Alexa and all the good stuff. Super Talk is on TV, also the C Spire Network, you know.
That's
so
right.
Also see the TV side of it by going to the app or to the browser and hitting your favorite shows. And, you know, they're all listed right there.
We're right there.
Yeah. So whatever you're looking for, just go over there, find shows, and then scroll through them, find Garden Mama, click it, and you're going to see a wealth of stuff there. At YouTube, there's clips and things that get put out. And, you know, and Garden Mama, she's also technically savvy. She has the newsletter with clips embedded and amazing news.
Did you see all that Valentine coloration yesterday?
Yeah, you got your Valentinos on today. I love it. But no,
well, you have to celebrate for a few days.
You have to. You know, it's kind of like a Christmas tree. You don't pull it down as soon as Christmas.
Not right away. Then we switched to Mardi Gras pretty quickly.
Somebody, I wanted to commend them. I was driving through my dad's neighborhood yesterday, and somebody had a plethora of beads all over their mailbox.
Wonderful,
it looked amazing.
Wonderful.
You know, beautiful home, but it also was just really, you going, oh yeah, it's that time of year.
It is that time of year.
We should have known that with the king cakes everywhere, but something about beads.
We can get into a very... well, probably useless, but at the same time, fun discussion of king cakes. The price of cinnamon, which is one of our favorite things to talk about around here anyway, because, you know, spices and herbs and whatnot are a big piece of the world of gardening. The price of cinnamon has pushed a lot of bakers across the country to, shall we say, a lesser form of cinnamon, but also other flavors. This was the first time that I had actually seen in person a chocolate king cake. And I have to tell you that it didn't intrigue me. Now, the cream cheese ones, all right, I can look at that one. That's pretty. But there wasn't nearly enough colored sugar, which apparently is another thing that has been difficult to access this year. So, y'all, all y'all celebrating Mardi Gras, get that king cake and enjoy it.
Somebody mentioned another name where they were in a smaller town and picked up one that was absolutely just lit up with flavor and cream cheese. It was a Mississippi one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to remember where it was. Somebody might, you know, have remembered the show the other day or something, but it was...
I'm going to say Paul's.
Well, it wasn't Paul's. That's why, because I've had that one recently.
Okay.
It was another one that was a smaller...
Yeah, there
it wasn't
couple
nearly
of
as big a operation, but it was just loaded down with goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... You know, that's the... If I could get my favorite cinnamon roll baker, good morning, to do this here, we would probably get the king cake of my dreams.
We still haven't hit the bakery yet, too. You know,
we still have to do that.
I'm looking forward to it.
They're at the farmer's market today here in Jackson, and probably your folks are, too, in your town. Wherever you are, go support your local farmer's market. It's February, y'all. They've got interesting things. They've got delicious things. And if you're lucky enough to have a baker that's kind enough to have a stall there, really amazingly beautiful things. Thank you, Guillermo. Appreciate that. Anyway, looking at a bunch of things going on in the garden world today. I know that may sound a little bit funny, but this is, as you all probably are aware, President's Weekend. Monday there will be no mail delivery and your bank is probably closed. So get aware of that if you didn't know already. But for us, it's rose pruning time. And I am happy to tell you that I got lots to say about that. If you have any questions particularly about it, by all means, send me a text or get on the phone and give me a shout, because we've got, this is the window. And yesterday the weather was excellent. I had good help in the garden. Got two shrubs moved, one of which was a rose. Everything, it looks so much better. It looks actually intentional now instead of this is what happened, which is how parts of my garden look. This one looks real intentional. And I'm happy to say that the weather's perfect for that kind of transplanting. So if you're doing that work, be glad that you are. It's going to be just fine. I have probably another 15 roses to prune, some of which I like and some of which I'm not that crazy about. But I have a thicket of Cherokee roses, and that's a different, it's a different process. It literally is cutting them almost all the way down and then letting them proliferate, which we don't do with other roses. With other roses, we're trying to encourage just a certain number of strong stems, and of course, some other bits and pieces of info, but we'll get into that as the morning goes on. If you join us at supertalk.tv this morning, you will see the flower arrangement that Lance did not bring me. In fact, nobody brought it to me because I've never seen it before. It's carrots in the glass jar, in the glass vase, with the carrots leaves as part of the arrangement, and really, really beautiful poppies and other things in there. I thought that was so, why have I not thought of that before? It immediately went to, why don't we do that with rainbow carrots? How cute would that be?
It made me think of like Bugs Bunny. When he was
you
doing
can see
the Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, in, you know?
Well, when he was putting all the salad stuff on Elmer Fudd's head.
On his head. It's exactly that.
While he's
that.
Gnawing on the carrot.
It's exactly that. And what a brilliant idea. I wish I could give you credit, whoever it is that did it. It was literally a photo that flew through my feed and had nothing else attached to it. So
looks delicious and smells good.
By the way, when you post things, you know, for example, my photos, you're welcome to share them. Just give me a little nod, you know. It's friendly when you do that. Helps a bunch.
The photog genius of Nellie Neal.
Not even a watermark. You know, I have friends that are very deeply involved in their photography. Mine is not that great, but I'm good, and I take pictures of interesting things. But it's just so nice to have that acknowledgement. And, for example, if you were looking right this moment, you would be seeing my tomato seedlings, which are happy and joyous. And I'm so proud. It is something that never, ever gets old with you. Once you've started growing things from seed, everyone that works is a joy, and everyone that doesn't work feels like the worst failure of your life for about a moment. And then it moves on because you compost them and you start something else. But it's really a good time of year to be doing these things, not only because it's, once again, we're headed from, I don't know, here in central Mississippi where I'm sitting today, it's going to be, what, 75 or something before it starts raining again? Or is it already raining? I don't even know. But I know it is next week at my house. The temperatures are predicted to be below 40 every night next week. So that's not the time to be planting tropical plants.
And if you're listening in the Delta weather that it'll do, it will up to Tuesday day. But Tuesday night in the Delta, you're looking at temperatures that are reported now to be in the mid-20s.
I was afraid of
High winds, and also the chance of rain, sleet, snow, and freezing rain, and a 90% chance of rain or precipitation. So Tuesday night, guys, we don't do it that far out in advance. I'm just letting you know what I'm seeing right now. Yeah. Now, that can change, but those of you who have plants out and you're in that listening area of,
you know who you are,
Greenville weather through the NOAA, I would say be careful with your plants, because this is that snap we were talking about probably 2 weeks ago that we knew we were going to get one more. So
absolutely,
be careful.
Oh, how lovely. This plant is a croton that let me see. Do I know who this is? I do not. But anyway, it's a flower, and the seed pods are forming also. But croton is a tropical plant. Let me start at the beginning. Every plant wants to reproduce. That's why it's here. It's not here to be the single one of its only world, because frankly, we wouldn't know about it. The ones that only made one, we kind of lose over the centuries, the eons. But in the case of croton, it's a tropical plant, and you don't see it bloom very often because it is a high light, low humidity plant, and it doesn't, it's like mother-in-law's tongue, it does not bloom until it's quite old, not ancient, but, you know, several years old. So most of us either don't have them that long, Or we buy young plants and enjoy them, and then, frankly, sometimes they're dead by the time they might have bloomed. So this has strong color in the leaves. The croton leaves, of course, are very stiff and very patterned and just beautiful colors, yellows, greens, reds. It's just wonderful, oranges. And, yes, those are the flowers. If they look like anything at all, for those of you who are curious about it, and won't necessarily see this with us today, look up croton, C-R-O-T-O-N, and look at the flower. It has the same sort of shape as a Fatsia japonica flower, except it's much smaller, of course, or that beautiful, beautiful umbral shape that is so pleasant when it comes to being a really effective way to create seed and make more plants. So the croton is a wonderful thing. Lovely plant. Thank you for showing me that today. Well, speaking of colder weather, I know it's almost a joke that, you know, the milk and the bread disappear off of and probably the peanut butter disappear off of the shelves when we worry about those things. And I appreciate that. But next week, the whole week, is real bread week. And I'm looking, there's a loaf of sourdough rosemary bread at my house I'm looking forward to enjoying, because that's real bread. It's very, very much real bread. But it's very hard to find, and since I'm a terrible yeast baker, it's hard to find plain old-fashioned, not wimpy wheat bread. I eat the wimpy wheat bread. I'm not going to disagree with it as a thing, but I like more integrity to it. So text me your recommendations for good bakeries. I'm ready. I have gas in my car. No, not today. It could happen. I had a wonderful encounter with some of my wordsmith people that I'm fond of, and they reminded me of something that they didn't know that I do this, but they found all this poetry in seed catalog descriptions. I encourage you to read your seed catalogs. Now, I realize that that's what we do. Then we, you know, that's how we end up ordering 25 different tomato varieties when we have room for two. But the poetry of it is brilliant, and it is an art of writing in itself. Excuse me. I have a former publisher of mine, a friend, wrote them for years for one of the famous, and it's just beautiful language. So check them out. I kind of think some of the names themselves, I had no idea there was even an orange-flavored thyme. I knew there was lemon, but I didn't realize that there was orange. This supremely vigorous that wafts heavenly citrus fragrance. I mean, come on. It's okay. It smells a little bit like orange when you crush it, but it's a wonderful phrase and a nice turn to give yourself the opportunity to read some poetry in the world of collecting all of these things. Tomatillas, this is another piece of information for me today and probably for you. I knew there were tomatillas. I like tomatillas. But I didn't realize that there are so many different ones. This is coming to us from our friends at Baker Creek. But they have five different seed sources, five different seed types, just of tomatillas in their catalog, and each one sounds better than the one next to it. Much sweeter than the green types. This is the purple one. It can be eaten right off the plant. What? I had no idea there was such a thing. But anyway, and of course, the really, really pretty ones have beautiful Spanish names, which we will get Lance to pronounce for us at a later date.
Two or three beers in, my pronunciation gets much better. Tell me that. Like, you're so much better right now. Yeah. Like, yes, sis. I understand. Yeah, cervezas are very helpful. It just makes the mind relax a little bit. I don't know if there was something.
You're less self-conscious. Yeah, I mean, not you personally, but everybody's less self-conscious, which is why
it helps.
Get us into so much trouble at times. That's another whole thing. I have to tell you, I feel like Abby has become the mascot of this program. This puppy dog on supertalk.tv has always got something to say, and we appreciate seeing you today. I think that's her name. I hope.
There's two of them, isn't there?
Yeah. But I don't know both of them.
I don't know the names.
Anyway, all right, now, we all understand that yesterday was the big Valentine's Day. Of course, this weekend is I guess the chocolate goes on sale. I don't know. But a lot of people continue the celebration a little bit. Today is Gumdrop Day, and I want Butterscotch Day. So I don't know what that does to the chocolate people, but it does make me think about last week's business of the day of decorating with candy. And I had no idea that we could have put butterscotch and gumdrops together and meet both of those things. It's just crazy. There are a lot of things that you don't really expect to be necessarily all in the same boat. One of the things in that question of what are we going to do in the wintertime is getting ready for spring with soil preparation. There are several things, though. Here's the thing. I want you to garden in containers if that's what you want to do. That's what I like to do, and it makes a whole lot of sense to me because it's so much easier to do than a lot of other things. But several criteria really do define a good potting soil. The potting soil itself is supposed to hold that plant upright in its container, so it's got to have a little bulk to it. It's got to allow the roots to penetrate really easily and still maintain that ability to hold water and drain well. How many things can we ask of this stuff? Well, that's what we ask. When potting soil doesn't do its job, we end up with things like puddles on the top of the soil because it was too dense for it to penetrate, or the whole thing dries up and shrinks away from the pot because it has so much peat in it and we didn't water rapidly enough, or we didn't water often enough, or whatever happened, it dried up, and the next thing you know, it shrinks back. The potting soil should not float. I have actually had that question along the way somewhere. It also is one of the things to read on the back of the bag. I know most of the time the bags are laying there, they don't have, you know, the information on them, but you should turn them over, because on the back somewhere it's going to tell you whether it's got its main ingredient is composted pine or hardwood bark or sphagnum or some other kind of form of peat moss. And there'll also be other things. There might be sand, there might be a vermiculite or a perlite to improve drainage. There might be different things added, like the water-holding molecules that we so appreciate in the middle of the summer sometimes. Those polymers have been added, and if we have really wet weather, it can be a problem, but most of the time those are very, very helpful. Now, of course, the addition of that and fertilizer may increase the price of the product, but, you know, on the other hand, you're not necessarily going to have to add as much fertilizer later, and you might get a little bit of help with the water problem in a very hot, dry patch. So, potting mixes are all about me and you, and we enjoy them. This is really a fun day. You know, this weekend gives us the time to prune roses, gives us the time to go back and do the things we forgot to do. And in my case, it's going to be a little bit of rearranging the furniture, not the deck chairs on the Titanic, no, but the furniture in my courtyard. Still got to protect some plants, all those kinds of things. We'll talk about all that when we get back.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi. We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
I feel more.
Well, there ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Oven in the morning, out in the garden. Get you a rifle. Hey, don't get a heart. Plant them in the spring.
Thank you very much, sir.
Raw winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about. about the sweating and digging.
They talk about the great void between the end of one sport and the beginning of the next. Baseball, I think pitchers and catchers have already reported in some places. And of course, it starts in college much sooner. But that whole notion that we've got, that the tomato void is the same thing. There are good tomatoes grown in greenhouses. There are great tomatoes that are not grown in greenhouses. But I do eat the greenhouse ones in the winter, and we're just beginning now to see some that are actually picked outside in Mexico and South Florida because they've had a pleasant season. But it's just interesting.
I thought that one was appropriate, you know, given your tomato today. Sprouts are looking good.
The tomatoes are coming up. They're going to be beautiful. I've got to move them up a little bit because I like to go ahead and get them ready for growing in a container that's a little bit bigger. But I don't put them directly into the giant container as seedlings because that's too much water and whatnot to keep going when the plant's not that big. So these will go in. The little tiny seedlings that you're seeing this morning will go into a 4-inch container till probably late March. We'll see how fast they grow. We'll find out.
We're talking about these babies right here.
Those little darlings, yes.
So they're going to. How much higher are you going to let them grow in the smaller container before you decide to?
Probably another set of leaves.
Another set of leaves, okay.
I don't like to leave them too long because this is seed-starting soil, and if they stay in, tomatoes particularly, if they stay in that soil too long, you tend to overwater them. So I need to move them into something that's a little bit more growable. That's really the reason for talking about the potting soil this morning, and I appreciate very much our texter saying, you know, thank you for doing that, because it is one of those things that we don't necessarily always get going with. Potting soils are usually based in either a bark or a sphagnum or some other composted pine, perhaps. It can be another form of peat moss. You might see them done in coconut fiber, for example. Then they've got some compost or sand or vermiculite or perlite or something like that in them to help them drain a little bit better than the soil would or than the organic matter would by itself. That's a potting soil. When you look at the bag and it says potting mix, or potting or growing media, container growing media is another topic that they might use for that particular thing. What you're actually getting at that point then is a little bit more. You're getting fertilizer in the mix. You're getting, I hope, a complete one that would also have trace elements, but you can check that on the label of the bag. And also usually the polymers that add a little bit of water holding capacity. Now, if you're going to use that, the water-holding capacity polymers in any form, be sure that you're not in a place where the plants are going to get overwatered in those containers. You have to monitor that a little bit, or it is easy to overwater them at that point. My own recipe for a potting mix, which I'm happy to send to you if you get in touch with me, mamaonair@yahoo.com, it's actually a really good opportunity to take that bag of soil and add a little more pine bark, add a little more compost, a little more sharp sand, some fertilizers, yes, that and then actually, because we put in all these organic matters, I like to put in a little bit of lime just to kind of sweeten it a little bit. But anyway, you can get information about that from me at any time at all.
And everything grows in it. Trust me, I've never seen her soil not yield amazing results. That's just me.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's not like she's not selling it or anything. So there's no money. I'm just being honest. Everything grows so beautifully.
I was really fortunate. I went to horticulture school and learned how to do that. And there are versions of it that are out there for sale and whatnot. But I'm not in that.
Yeah, that's not
that
your
world.
That's not your bag, no. As Austin Powers would say.
As Austin would say.
Yeah, and I'm not joking either. It must have been a year and a half ago, you were mixing some,
yeah.
And we were hanging out. I was like, show me what you're doing here, because I see these specks and all this, and you explained the whole thing, and it was just beautiful.
Thank you.
And it looked like it wanted seeds in it. It needed seeds, and the seeds needed to be there. And everything you've grown in that mix, since I've really paid great attention, has been beautiful.
My house is full of them right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so y'all don't get the she needs to take more, like, just a walk around the house video.
I probably need
for a
to
clip
that.
Just so you guys can see.
When I get them, now that's a good question that came in from our texter. The plants in the house are kind of looking sort of puny, so what should we do? And do we take them outside on warm days and bring them back in? I have too many to do that with. If you can, it's probably very helpful. I do take out the lemon tree and the split leaf philodendron, because they really need the outdoors. They're going to come back in for this week, of course, because I don't want anything below 40 degrees at night on my lemon tree particularly. And I've got a staghorn fern too that I need to protect. But it's really important to know your limits. If I started trying to move them all in and all out, I wouldn't be able to stand up, because the pots are too heavy and I'm frankly too old. So if you've got some rolly carts, we were talking about covering up somebody's citrus trees just yesterday, and Peaches said, well, if I turn the tomato cage upside down, then I can put the sleeve over it, and they're not growing right now. These are brand new trees. Absolutely, that'll work super. You don't want the tips of an unplanted shrub to get burned if you can avoid it. So do what you can to help them out. Daffodils, don't worry so much. I'm looking at a beautiful picture of daffodils. I am going to go pick all the ones in my garden this afternoon, because they've already gotten rained on once. They need a little break, and they need to go inside.
They're not the hardiest thing, but they're so pretty.
But they bounce back.
Right.
Excuse
They'll
me.
They'll lay down and pop back up.
We have really good thunderstorm recovery in most of our daffodils. And today there's also a really pretty, well, it's not pretty because it got my hand in it. The snowdrops, excuse me, the snowdrops that are blooming now, that have just begun to bloom, are really the sweetest things. I wait for them every year. Usually they come up before the daffodils. This year, all of them are running at the same time. But they're so pretty. Little bell shapes with green dots on them. That's fun.
I didn't mean to jump into the unread text to throw you off, but
it's okay.
We had a good one in here from Derek in Greenwood. We always get comments on this with crepe myrtles, but been looking at his crepe myrtles. Noticed that one has black smut-like substance all over it. What can you do?
Yeah. Derek, it's tough. If it's on the bark, you've probably almost 100% likely got crepe myrtle bark scale, and it will take a systemic insecticide to control that. So if you're willing to use that systemic insecticide, which of course is one that you drench the plant with, and then it takes the chemical up into the tree, which takes care of a lot of the scale problem. You still have to clean it off, but it takes care of the future of it, stops it from progressing. But it also, of course, is deadly to any pollinators that might stop by your tree when it is in bloom. So you have to make a decision about that. My own personal point of view is that if the crepe myrtle bark scale or anything else is such a hazard to the tree that I'm going to have to nuke it, so to speak, I'm going to have to use a systemic insecticide, I'm going to have to repeat it every year for a while, and the different bits and pieces of things that can be so difficult, it's probably not going to stay in my garden. My neighbor has had the bark scale. The variety in my front garden doesn't really have it, but it's a little bit weaker than it was, and I do think it's probably affected by it, and I'll see it this year where I didn't see it last. But it's one of those problems that has spread across the world in our part of it, and you have to either treat it with the systemic or change to another tree. There are varieties that seem to get it less, but it's really more geographic than anything else. I really enjoyed the other piece of the question about moving the plants in and out was how to get them ready for going outside. With the puny ones right now, I'm grooming, I'm fertilizing. I find that I tend to overwater right up until I don't water enough when the plants are inside. So this weekend, one of my tasks is going to be to put out some more fertilizer for them, because I do that usually in November and February, the slow-release fertilizer. And then come back around and make sure that I don't have any that have to be groomed a little bit more. I've got a couple of things. Nothing's collapsed, but I've got a couple that don't look so great. Do a little work on them. Getting ready to go outside really is dependent on the weather in your specific neighborhood. This writer texture is from Madison. So when the temperatures are consistently above 40 degrees, you can move just about everything outside. I do like, if your light in your house is limited, I will say move them to an area outside that is not full sun before you move them into more sun, if they can take that, because it really is a shock to their system. But that's really about the best thing I can tell you. That's true. We have heard this before. That bottle of vodka is not just good for making pasta sauce, although it is wonderful for that. many people will put a splash of vodka in the container with their tulips. What it's basically doing is the same reason we use the alcohol in any of these situations, is because we're going to get the benefit of it without overwetting the plant. So it's just physics. That's all. Just physics.
Well, we might have some lushy plants too. Huh? So those maybe are the ones that they just like vodka, though.
Maybe they do. I haven't asked them, but yeah, perhaps.
Some people like a Guinness beer.
That's true. Some do.
Some don't. I love them.
There's people that like just a lot of things.
Hey, I will say this: when anyone needs me to come by and, like, you know, fix something or help with a plant, if you have three Guinness beers, I'm willing to work.
I
had that offer the other day. I was like, yes,
that
I
sounds
will.
Good.
I'm there, man. I hadn't had a Guinness in a while. It was awesome.
That's funny.
And then you just, you know, it's a great barter.
Well,
I'm all about bartering.
I may have told this story before, but Guinness, drinking, appreciating a Guinness, which I certainly do, and being able to drink it at a meal with people that are also ordering it, always raises your stock with them. If you can tolerate, this particular activity, and it's not negative. It's just that it's a taste that not everybody wants, and I think it's great, but not every day.
No, I couldn't do it every day. Beer milkshake.
Oh, I'm contemplating this lemon question, and I will get to it here in a moment, but I got to think about what to say. I think it's going to be fine. That's the main thing, but I'll come back to that. Let's see. Thistle, everywhere thistle. Oh, my goodness. Jeff's in Laurel. Yeah, it's about that time.
Isn't that stuff awesome? If you like walking through your yard.
You do know that awesome and awful come from the same root,
exactly,
right?
Yeah, you got the AWE in there. But if you're walking in your yard barefooted and, all of a sudden you walk out there and you got thistle everywhere,
that'll
wake you up quick.
When the cows won't eat it, and the deer are not interested, you got a problem. That's for sure.
But there is that moment where everything was okay, and then you walk out. And you go 10 feet in the yard, like, oh, my God, what is this?
And it really is the same as he's experienced. If you can dig it out and cut it out, if you don't get every bit of it, it ends up being a bigger problem because it spreads. Same thing as nutgrass. Nutgrass, of course, on a much shorter level. But you multiply it when you yank it out of the ground.
When you pull it, huh?
It's one of Mother Nature's most devastating truths.
It's like if you could do that with human hair. Everyone you plucked, you got another one.
Great?
You got two. I'm in.
It would be fun. I like that. Now, there's not really a good answer. Thistle is something that bugs people and troubles them. The best thing to tell you is to keep cutting it down. And like anything else, cutting it down, pulling it up, I didn't say this out loud, but if you take a half a teaspoon of table salt and put it into that hole right where you cut the root out, it will help suppress it. Doesn't work permanently, doesn't work well. Don't do it in your flower bed, probably not even in your lawn, but if it's on the edge of your property or it's in your field or somewhere that you can do that without a problem, you can suppress it. On the other hand, they're absolutely beautiful as cut flowers. And I know that's not anything anybody wants to think about, but they are beautiful as cut flowers. It's really a mess. I hate them. I mean, I don't hate the plant, but I hate the struggle that it is to take care of them.
I meant to ask you, when you're looking at all the different long stem roses that say you would see at a Kroger or at a very high end flower shop, and you'll see the solid colors, the whites and the yellows and the reds and the pinks.
Yellows are my favorite.
And they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. But there are those that have the little edge around the tip of the petal. And say the yellow or orange with an orange.
Love that.
What are those called? Or what? How do you? They're not dyed or something. They grow that.
Usually
way,
they're not. Usually it's a bicolor. Mm-hmm. In other words, the breeder at some point grew orange roses, and one or two of them developed that red edge, and so they what you do then, of course, is propagate that, and if you can get it to be stable and continue, you have a new plant.
Yes.
Not a different plant, just a new version, so you can name it after your mama or somebody. And it that's a really wonderful way that we get flowers, is because they do have that natural tendency to do what's called break. It's why when you see tulips, for example, you see some tulips that are perfectly cup shaped and you see other ones that look like somebody hit them with electricity. they're usually parrot tulips and stuff. Okay, y'all, here's a moment of I don't even know what this is. Brain to Brain. This is what I was listening to on the way to work this morning. Come on, y'all. Come with me. Me and Bob Skaggs got a lot to say. We'll be back.
Do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time.
No, he did not know that I had played this in the car on my way to work today. He's not in my car. He's already here at work. Y'all know he lives here. Y'all get that, don't you?
Part-time.
There's devotion, and then there's devotion. Anyway, it's just a great...
I love this song.
I had the great pleasure of being where he and his band were and got to go see him a bunch of times. And there's just something about rock and roll that if you get it, you get it. And all that, you know, if you know, you know stuff. But it's always been what made me feel good. And I like it. I listen to it loud on the way to work. People stare at me. I don't care.
That's the way you're supposed to listen to a song you love, though.
Well, and it's just so good.
Jack it up and enjoy it.
Exactly. Oh, question about hydrangea pruning. Ooh. I'm gonna almost quote horticulturist Dan Gill, my friend from Louisiana, who's the horticulturist. He's on the air right now, in fact, in Louisiana. Dan would say, this is the price we have to pay for the fact that we love the way they look later. They just basically look terrible right now. So now, if that's traditional, big round-headed and lace-cap hydrangeas. If you've got limelights that bloom in the late summer, this is the time to go trim off those old flowers. And it really does help thicken their stems, make them a little bit tougher, and also it helps with the size of the flowers the following summer. So there's two pieces of that puzzle, but I read that from Dan this week, and I said, he's so right. We just have to pay this price. You know, mine look awful right now, but that's just how it is. We just let them be. What is the best indoor plant to clean the air? Interestingly enough, there are several. One is peace lily, the spathiphyllum. It's the one that most people will give you as a gift that has white flowers on a spathe, you know, that's a curved spathe like this with the flower in the center. And its biggest problem is that you either don't water it at all and it collapses, or you overwater it, keep it too wet, and it collapses. So those are the two. Anything in between there is going to be better treatment for it. Another one is snake plant, of course. I do collect sansevierias, the snake plants. They are just almost I'm sure you can do them in, you know, in one way or another, but it's very difficult to do them any harm at all. So once you get them into a spot in your house, they can be there and work for you for years. They're very long-lived plants. Spider plants, not so much. You may think of spider plants as in a basket, and then the little stems shoot out from the center of the basket, and it puts a little plants hanging in the air around it. That's another very, very good air cleaner, and one that I recommend. Both, all of those things do really well for growing indoors. It's a really pleasant thing. Oh, Jesse and the lemon tree. Now, Jesse, it's always funny when somebody says, okay, I didn't follow your advice, first of all. But it's in a pot. It has good root room and it's healthy with mint, but the jewels of opar are coming up around the tree, so we know the soil is in good shape. He's pruned it back, and it's only got a couple of shoots on. He wants to get it ready for new leaves, new flowers, and obviously for fruit as soon as it can possibly make some. I'm just going to say, this is, you know, I don't recommend products I don't use by name, but I'm going to recommend this one because I use it, Espoma citrus fertilizer, organic citrus fertilizer. From them is the best one that I've ever found. My lemon tree has brand new leaves on it right now, and it has really, really pretty flowers when it blooms. They smell great. It makes lemons, and I recommend it. So it's going to be one of the things where I'm going to say use a half a dose, because this plant's ready for a half a dose of fertilizer. Come back in a month and give it the other half. And by that time, it'll be time to be considering going outside with it. So that's fun. It's a great, great plant. One that I wish everybody had a lemon, you know. Jeff and I are talking back and forth about thistle. We're not cursing on the text line, but we are making strong statements about our dislike for the plant. Now, talking about that changing color, the roses that have the red tips on the orange flowers or vice versa, or sometimes there's streaks and stripes and patterns and whatnot. Those are things that we understand come from the change in the plant's genetics that is just a change, just a something in its history or its life made it decide it wanted to do that. There are other things, though, that change the way plants look that some are difficult, some are not. We think about one of the things that is the reason why if you are a tobacco smoker, you don't smoke tobacco or use your hands on your tomato plants or potatoes either, is because of the tobacco mosaic virus, which will get on both of those things. It can be transferred from the product to the plant. Rarely happens, but it does. And they do exist. It looks like a traditional mosaic pattern in the leaves, doesn't look healthy, and oftentimes the plants slow down growth or will wilt and stunt a little bit quickly, sooner than you would expect them to. On the other hand, there's chimeras. When your squash plants look absolutely beautiful, but one over here and one over there has this odd white pattern in it, that's not a problem. That's a natural genetic mutation, a thing that happens, and it just happens. It's not going to hurt it. You don't have to remove it. You can if it bothers you. But it's one of those things that you need to know the difference of what you're looking at. That's probably, it is one of the reasons why I've been very conscious of taking my own photographs of things when I see them, and also of making sure that people know what they're looking at if I didn't take the photograph, that either where it came from or what the plant is or something. Because I want you to be able to recognize it when you see it in your garden. That's really the biggest point of all of this, is so that you have a better experience when you get out there and say, oh, that's right, that's that chimera, that's not going to bother me. Or, oh, I better look at this one. This one looks a little bit wilty, you know, and if it's mosaic looking and wilty, it's probably got a little trouble to it. I can repeat that for you. That's the slow release one that we like. It's going to be citrus tone, and it's from Espoma, Espoma. It's an organic fertilizer. They make really good. They're the people that make tomatone, Hollytone, you've seen those in the stores at some point, probably. Yes, Espoma, you got it. That's good. I'm glad y'all are paying attention today. That's fun.
That sounds like a Spanish model's name, Espoma. That's the new thing. Yeah, we'll hear that one.
I'm pretty sure they're from New Jersey. I have had dinner with these folks once or twice over the years. They're lovely people.
They got a great name.
Pretty sure they're from New Jersey.
Very beautiful sounding.
Yes, of course. You know, that's the thing. If you built a quilt of just the names of horticulture businesses, you would have literally the map of the world, you know, because everybody around the world is interested in growing plants, and everybody's got an idea that they want to share with somebody, you know, at some point. So I think that's terrific. Derek says that that's a 12 to 15 year old tree. He's going to talk to his wife. I think that's really smart. That's a
don't make any drastic decisions on a 15 year old tree without the loved one.
This is not a joke. This is you see people who have been married for 30, 40, 50, 70, 80 years, and even the late President Carter would say, because Rosalind was right all the time, is how that worked. I'm not going to tell you have to do that, but I am going to tell you that it is good to consult with one another.
Anytime you make a right decision, the wife behind you has likely nudged you in that direction. I learned that, you know, in my brief time being married. Yeah, the great decisions men make are usually because the wife behind them has said, do that.
Oh, that's an interesting...
Yeah, Jerry Garcia tells you, you know.
Jerry Garcia tells us that, but, you know, he did tend to make us women look pretty good in his lyrics. Oh, my goodness. Please stick around, y'all. We're going to talk about planting tomatoes. We're going to talk about getting some more potting soil information going and what fruit trees you want to plant. We got another hour here on the Garden Mama Show.
Well, what a snow. Catfish chum was a river hobo. Lived and died by the river's bend.
Before heading out in your RV, go through your propane system safety checklist. Take a look at exterior vents and clear away debris and blockage. Check propane cylinders for wear and tear. Inspect all propane appliance connections thoroughly for frays and damage. Make sure your RV has a DC fire extinguisher and propane carbon monoxide and smoke detectors, and have the vehicle inspected annually. Remember, always leave repairs to the professionals. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Billy Taylor, Executive Director at the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. Our agency works to help those we serve prepare for today and plan for the future. One way we do that is through the Mississippi ABLE program. This program provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to invest their money in tax-advantaged savings accounts without the fear of losing their public benefits. You can learn more or sign up by visiting MississippiABLE.com. That's MississippiABLE.com.
Think for a minute.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal. On Super Talk Mississippi.
Coming to you today on World Hippo Day. It is also Make Mine Chocolate Day, my friends, and I'm telling you, why have we not done this already? We need chocolate hippos, right? Come on. I don't need chocolate croissants. I don't need, you know, but a chocolate hippo instead of a bunny would make me very happy.
Well, speaking of bakeries, I believe that Chick-fil-A went kind of all out yesterday.
Oh, fun.
The wonderful folks here take the office, the bulk of it, they had a Valentine's Day breakfast, and there were some leftover bags of Chick-fil-A, and I grabbed one, the chicken biscuit in it was the biscuit was baked into a heart.
Oh,
yeah,
come on.
So they did a great job, you know. You give them some credit for that.
That's great. Yeah. That's fun.
So anytime you can have a little fun. Just my own personal Valentine.
How nice. Yeah. Yeah, a little fun.
And I'm going to eat it.
But I'm telling you, I'm waiting on it. I really do. I really feel like this is the chocolate hippopotamus is in our future.
The hippo's underappreciated.
Very much. They're tough. They're very tough critters.
Big, beautiful.
Been here a long time.
They're not the most aggressive at, like the rhino now, the one with the horn.
That's different. Yeah, they have more work to do.
Yeah, yeah. They got that horn for a reason.
That's right.
Single antler.
That's right. You know, there's some great questions. We've had really, really good ones today. Y'all are so nice to send me such good questions. Here is one particular one that I like a lot. Corinne's planting Gomphrena strawberry fields seeds today. And she says that it says to soak them, but then they're all fluffy. So how do you soak that? Or do you soak that? Or what's the deal? Sometimes they're talking about if the seed feel really dry to the touch, that you would put them into like a wet paper towel and let them soak that way for a period of time, just so that you're giving them a little boost in the hydration. I would not pour the seeds into water and leave them there for an hour or two the way we do okra or the way we do morning glories or so many other things. But you could certainly give them a little bit of a wet treatment to help them, to encourage them a little bit. The Gomphrenas that I have grown were pretty much grown from the flower heads of the previous ones. I've not actually started them from seed in a packet. And they never seem to need anything except to be started. So it may be because they have been put into a process that allows them to travel, you know, and last a long time, that you do need to give them a little extra hydration. When I do that for anything, if I have a seed packet that I don't know if it's going to be viable, for example, I will take the wet paper towel test. Wet the paper towel, put a few seeds down, roll it over, use a spray bottle, keep it wet for a couple of days, and if nothing happens, if they don't sprout, if there's no swelling, if there's not any kind of action at all, probably that seed packet's been around too long. It's time to think about doing something else with that particular area in the garden that you were planning to plant. I think that's a real smart thing anyway. A lot of people test all of their seeds, and I don't know that it's necessary, but it does help a little bit. Alan in Batesville has another really good question. He's asking about fertilizing tomatoes, you know, getting a little ahead on the spring thing. Do we do that in the hole with the plant, or do we do it on the side? There's actually three different things when it comes to fertilizing vegetables. I believe in feeding the soil first, because I want all that micro and macro activity to happen that possibly can, that creates, when I do plant the plant, that creates that soil food web that allows the roots to take up the materials that they need and also to exudate back into the soil so that the micro and macro life has something to live on, okay? It's a wonderful cycle. So we fertilize the soil just enough to keep all that going. Generally, we can do that with a compost or a slight amount of nitrogen, cottonseed meal or something like that. Then the next piece of it, of course, is that we want to feed the plant when we plant it. So if I'm putting in a tomato, I will sometimes, oftentimes, go just about an inch or so below the depth of the plant and put in some fertilizer right there. Some people will feed the entire row, and I think that just really gives a benefit to the weeds. So I want to target that fertilizer below where the plant's going to be. If I'm putting in a 4-inch size pot tomato, I might use a tablespoon of fertilizer an inch below where the plant's going to sit when it's first transplanted. Then I'm going to come along with something else and fertilize the plant as it grows, man, every couple of weeks at least, maybe sooner if things look like they need to be pushed on a little bit. But it really is a matter of feeding the soil and also feeding the plant. And sometimes you can do that feeding of the plant after it's growing in the side dress that he's talking about, which you would put it on the side of the plant and work it in. So either way is good for that. But I do like a little bit below the plant when it's first planted, and then I very much like to come along and add to it. You can do it with a soluble and just water the plant, but if you put in a granular, you do usually put that at the side of the plant in what's called that side dressing. It's a good way to continue things and get them, be sure that they're going to be able to keep growing. Let's see now. Last fall, after the flowers had done, we planted radishes, garlic bulbs. The radishes did well. The garlic, when will I harvest it? The radishes did well. That's great. A lot of people don't realize you can grow radishes so quickly. You know, 30, 35 days is just brilliant to have something that you can literally pull out the ground and enjoy. It's wonderful. But the garlic will grow until the end of the spring. It usually takes from October until about May. Sometimes it's a little sooner. Usually, though, it's about May. And that's when you will see it start to fall over a little bit, you'll have an opportunity to dig it up and start seeing what's underneath it. Sometimes it will proliferate on the top. That's not a big deal. But the bulb itself takes most of the winter, takes all winter and most of the spring to develop. That's a really good question. Thank you. We don't talk about garlic enough, and we do love garlic.
And radishes. I love them.
I love radishes.
I love a radish. There's just something so crisp and clean about the flavor. And then, like you said, they grow so quickly.
Well, and that's the thing. You can grow them in a small space so that you can have sparkler red ones. You can have long white ones. And if you get really crazy, you can start into daikon and go in the whole Japanese direction and have really spicy radishes. they're like up there with parsnips in terms of their size and their bulk of flavor. Isn't that pretty? My goodness, that's fancy. We got some Valentine people here today, this morning.
Yeah, I think that's a cup of coffee, actually.
That's what it looks like. It looks like
really knew what they were doing.
It looks like a cream, you know, a drawing in a barista that's not getting paid enough.
Yeah, no, there's no way anybody got paid enough to make that.
It's really
lovely.
You
don't want to drink it. It's so pretty.
I think that's lovely, but that would be difficult. I wouldn't know where to start. Cheryl's in Tupelo today, as usual, her wonderful self. She's right on time with me. This is, y'all are so great. This is so much fun. When is the right time to cut back poinsettias? She's in Vestavia, Alabama. I just did this week. I didn't cut back the giant one. It's still got, it's red on it. You know, my late bloomer, my Paul the poinsettia that doesn't get treatment. But the little poinsettia that I had that was Christmas oriented this year, I have just cut back. It dropped every leaf and bract off the top of it, and now it's already starting to put out something on the side. So just grow it like a house plant. Don't overwater it. Give it some nice bright light and a little bit of fertilizer until you can put it outside and kind of ignore it for the summer. Do love those poinsettias. If you don't take them too seriously, you know. It's one of those things, if you want to grow them for real, you know, to sell, you won't sleep for 6 months. I can tell you because I've done it. It's good. It's a wonderful plant to grow and very popular and all those, that sort of thing. But, man, I tell you what, they'll keep you awake at night. Oh, okay, Epsom salt. Man, y'all are going all around the horn today. This is great. I got some Epsom salt the other day, probably to soak those feet, and noticed that it said you could use it on tomatoes. Well, we use it, gardeners use it, I should say, on tomatoes and particularly on peppers. What we're using the Epsom salt for is to get the strength in the cell walls to increase. Now, generally speaking, if your soil is well, you know, you've tested your soil and all your numbers are right in that regard, and you are using a complete fertilizer which also has minor elements in it, you will get plenty of calcium, magnesium, you know, the wonderful things, potassium, the wonderful things that help with cell wall strength. But a lot of people find that they have good success after the fruit has set. They will go, and even for roses too, because they're trying to strengthen those walls of the flowers themselves so that they last longer in the vase or in shipment or whatever it might be. They will make a spray and spray that to help strengthen those plants. I don't have any problem with that. It's been done for 100 years, well, longer than that probably, but that I know of. And the green pepper growers in South Louisiana, for example, are pretty devoted to it. They say their soils are heavy, and they need to give they don't need to put something else in the soil at that point, but they do need to address the need for more nutrients in the fruit. So that's why they do it, and that's how they do it. And yeah, you can spend a day in EpsomSalts.com or whatever, maybe .org. I don't really know. I haven't been there in a few years, but there's so much information. You'll be busy for a period of time. I like that, though. It's a really good question. Oh, okay. Madison Gardner asks if it's a good time to repot an overwintered houseplant, or will it be shocked? Kind of depends. For example, I would not repot African violets right now. I would not repot ferns right now. You know, things that are a little bit touchy anyway. But I have pothos right now that is growing out of the pot that it's in. I could repot that. It'd be fine. It would probably be a good time to take some cuttings from it and lighten the load rather on the plant itself. That would probably be a good idea. But it really does depend on what the plant is. I've had to repot a couple this recently because that marauding kitten that I foolishly, no, she's beautiful, but she really likes to jump on containers and see if they'll hold her, and they don't. They fall over. So there's been a lot of vacuuming up and repotting of plants in parts of my house. And they're everywhere. I should do that video. Oh, that's pretty. How far down do I cut? Good question, Bubba. Leave, go down about 4 inches. Leave that one leaf on the stem in the center that has the bract. Cut right above that bottom leaf. Cut right above the bottom leaf on each of those stems and leave one leaf to photosynthesize. That's great. Good picture. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Ooh, is it too late to plant English peas, and when do you plant garlic? We plant garlic in October, but I planted some 2 weeks ago because I found it in my pantry, and it had started to sprout. I looked at it yesterday. It looks great. I'm going to probably just put it underneath something else for the cold spell that's coming. It won't make garlic, but it will make nice, bright shoots. I have shallots that'll do the same thing. It's too late in the year for them to actually grow a new bulb, but I will be able to get some good greens off of them. And if they survive the summer, which I hope they will, then I'll probably have excellent onions by Christmas of next year sometime. English peas, absolutely. We say that, you know, we plant sweet peas and English peas at Thanksgiving in Zone 8. You can go 2 weeks earlier, 2 weeks later, depending on where you are. But if it doesn't work, if they get frozen or if they don't come up or something eats them or something, you try again at Valentine's Day. So, yes, go ahead and plant again. I would look at the variety of English peas that you're planting. Some of them are much longer term than others. For example, the climbing ones, the ones that have to have a trellis to make peas, are going to take more like 90 days. So it's kind of a push to get them before the hot weather comes, but there are others that are 70 and 78 days, so you can get those and not have a problem going ahead and planting some more. I was real surprised when I discovered that not only are all these other funny things that we think about, edible flowers and fiddleleaf ferns and all these very delicate little things, pieces of dill and stuff, people use the shoots of green peas as an element, like a microgreen. And all I could think was that somebody must have had a drawer full of them and they all sprouted, was how they decided to do that. Because otherwise you would plant the seeds, right? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. But anyway, they are tasty. I'll give them that. I appreciate that part very, very much. I do want to tell you before I get too late, good morning, Kenneth. This is National FFA Week coming up this week. If you don't know about the Future Farmers of America, educate yourself. Wonderful, wonderful organization. And just, if you want people that are going to be engaged in community and know how to farm and know how to grow plants and know what the value of horticulture is, support the FFA in your area. It's really important. Be vigilant, by the way. This is today's watchword. Be vigilant for the weather, for your plants, for, as they say, you know, the critters and the people that are out there in the cold, take care of them as well. But I'm going to tell you another one. Be vigilant, my friends. Get some traps, particularly if you grow fruit or vegetables, but even if you just grow flowers, which are lovely to have. We do want to monitor for pests. You don't need to be spraying up a bunch of stuff. You don't need to ignore them either. It's really very, very important to go ahead and give yourself the opportunity to trap some pests. Now, what am I talking about? Well, it's actually pretty simple. There are several different things that are true of insects. One is that they will find their target. So when I'm telling you that if you hang that yellow strip of fly paper next to your plants, you're going to catch a whole host of things. But if you go and get the one that's actually intended for the fruit tree pests, it will have been treated a little bit differently, and you will get the pests that are coming to your fruit trees. It tells you, in general terms, how many there are and how big a problem you've got, but it also allows you over the season to measure the population's surges and falls. One of the best sets of traps that I ever used was to demonstrate the 8-day life cycle of aphids. I know that sounds terrible, but people don't believe me when I tell them aphids and so many other tiny piercing and sucking insects multiply every 8 days. So if you're not interrupting their life cycle, you're just going to have the next batch of eggs hatch, and then they, here we go again. So when we have the opportunity to trap them, though, we can see when that population builds up. And in many cases, not particularly fruit trees, those are so predictable that we do have specific times to spray them, of course, but so many other things and the other pests that can be a problem on fruit trees will really be very happily monitored. They're more than happy to fly into your trap that's hanging in your trees. And it's just a sticky trap. It does kill the ones that land on it, but it will also allow you to count them and tell you when the population is getting greater or when the work that you've done is working and their population has subsided. Both of those things are very, very helpful. I also wanted to mention, keep mulch around your fig. I realized I hadn't done that enough, and I've got a little damage on mine. That's not right. Thank you very much for that. I gave myself a tip, too. All right, now, you know what's coming. It's us. Here's Van Morrison. In the gentle evening breeze, by the whispering shady trees, I'll find my sanctuary in the Lord. And no matter where I roam, I'll find my way back home. I will always return to the Lord. Like a fool for, like a fool for skin. I was
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
Dell Technologies.
Woke up this morning with a funny, funny feeling, and that feeling was an unusual feeling.
Y'all know Peter Tosh, right? You know about that feeling, don't you? Come on. Welcome in. This is indeed. I have more new news for you. Did you know that flamingos truly do glow? They have bioinfluorescence. They are biofluorescent. I did not know this. I thought that's just what they looked like when you saw them, and they seemed to glow. Well, it turns out the Royal Rose Society Open Science reports for us from, strangely enough, the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and the American Museum of Natural History. Somebody wanted to go see the flamingos. Anyway, the whole business of what is this for? Why do things biofluoresce? We understand that. For example, there was that really giant, ugly sea creature that only a mother could love. I don't mean to use the word ugly. I'm sure they're not ugly to some people. But they only come to the top, so we only see them when they're all distended and about to die. Okay? And so that kind of thing is of interest to all of us. We're fascinated by it, but we don't necessarily go in search of it. People have been going looking for biofluorescent flamingos forever. The very first specimens were collected in the 1800s, and people have been documenting this. But now we've actually got to the why and the what. 37 out of 45 birds that were tested had the quality. And apparently, as you might imagine, because everywhere except for the humans, it's all about the males trying to be cute enough to get a mate. or in this case, glowy enough. In this case, there's we human being women tend to dress for ourselves. Okay, yes, but yeah, we're also dressing because we would like somebody else to notice us. Come on, you know it's true. And in the case of men, we would like to think that they do, human men. Sometimes they do, but other times, well, I don't know. In the case of the flamingos, it's always the male dressing up. In this case, we understand why. We need more flamingos. So that's why they do that. I love, love this. They have, they've actually, these are the same people that have been working on the fish, and they have now got hundreds of species across the tree of life that glow. And indeed, apparently, it's so we can all have more of them in most cases. But they've been focused on fishes. Now they're focusing on birds. I love that. You know what else about mammals? We human mammals are different from other critters, but we're also different from other mammals. You know that today is World Pangolin Day. Pangolins are poached a whole lot. I don't really know why. But I will tell you a couple of fascinating things about them. If you know what an anteater looks like, you basically know what this looks like, except it has big old scales. So it's really very dinosaurian in its way, but it is a wild tropical anteater. They are able to eat things at a great distance from themselves because their tongues are longer than their bodies. Now, that's pretty exciting if you think about it, but I don't know what that has to do with why they're poached so much. It seems like we'd want them to be out there controlling the insects in the area. I would certainly be happy for them to do that. But they are beautiful, covered up in scales. They're absolutely gorgeous. They do eat termites, so we would be silly if we didn't encourage them. But for some reason, the scales are made of the same thing that our hair is made of. It's keratin. That's something. Fascinating creatures. Just fascinating creatures. Oh. Okay, now. Have you ever had this happen to you? You sit in a row with sit in a room with people. And you watch what they're doing. And even if they don't seem to know what they're doing, you can see what they're doing, that sort of thing. It's like, oh, I see where this is going. That's that sort of expression. Well, the wonderful bonobos, our little friends, the apes, are smarter than we are in many cases. Johns Hopkins University is letting us know that treats are very important, not only to us, but also to them. And it's interesting that they can play three-card Monty with their treats. If the person looks and puts the treat under one of the shells, okay, that's okay. We get that. But if the human does not appear to know where the treat is through subterfuge or whatever, every time in this particular experiment, the apes would go over and point at it and give you let you know where it is, show it to you. They were going to tell you even though you acted as if you didn't know where it was. He would just, where's the grapes, you know, in 10 seconds. If he had seen it being hidden, during that 10 seconds, they would sit still and wait for him to give them the treat. But when he didn't look at where the treat was hidden, they would immediately point to it and actually point, jump, and carry on. That's the way I will put that. I love that. Paula, these are lovely. Your sentiment of ready for a long drive with no real destination is one of my very favorite things, and I appreciate knowing that about you too. I lived on a dead end road next to a levee when I was a child, and as a result, we had lots and lots of what they call now looky-loos. You know, people that just wanted to come see what was down that road. My dad said we needed one of those waving hands, you know, because there were so many people that didn't know us that came by the house. Pretty little tuxedo cat, beautiful fish, not in the same picture, not in the same, you know, situation, but lovely, lovely things today. Beautiful orchids. And you must have gone to the rodeo. Speaking of which,
a big night tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Guess who?
Gretchen Wilson.
Gretchen Wilson. Caleb had taken his better half down to the...
Truly.
Truly. No, Caleb's awesome. But he had, they'd gone and said, I think it was Zach Top was packed I mean, so yeah, you can imagine.
Can I admit I don't know who that
is? Yeah, I didn't know who it was. Okay. I mean, so you can imagine if he was packed, Gretchen Wilson's going to be a wonderful time.
We old folks know who Gretchen Wilson is. It's going to be busy down there.
Those young guys, they got the.
Y'all don't know. Look up redneck woman, and cover the children's ears when she sings it.
It's going to be epic. Commissioner Gibson has put on a great show this year, as always.
And she's not obscene or anything, y'all. No. She's very seriously, wonderfully country. I love her. And she does have a few things to say, to say the least. Yeah, they went last night, and they'll be going again tonight. Paula, that's great, y'all. That's fun. Take pictures. Oh, this is so sweet from Ray. And it is so true. Two dogs talking. Is your human a rescue, too? Yeah, she's got some issues. But we're working through them. I love her so much. Trust me, your dogs and your cats and your horses say these things about you. I promise. By the way, when you see a dog that looks very tall and shaggy in today's panel at supertalk.tv, you're looking at a shrub. You're looking at a grassy dog topiary. And I'm just in love. I'm probably not going to be able to do that myself, but it really is clever. I realize it looked kind of like hay bales and whatnot.
I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know if it was real or not. The way that
they've done that. Well, there's a whole series of things in gardens across the country, botanical gardens and one thing and another, that they want you to know are there because you don't have to wait till summer. And so we see a whole lot at this time of year. We see these topiaries. We also see wattled fencing and stuff that would be covered up later on, that now you can go and look and see that it has all these hearts and shells and wonderful designs in it. You know, so it's just pretty. They're smart. They know they have beautiful bones in their garden, and they want you to come and see them.
So. That's so cool, though. It really is.
Isn't he cute? He didn't have a name, though. That was my problem. Let's see. I love this. There's a picture. Thoughts? Let's see. Is there any drainage is my first thought. If there's no drainage in this pot, you need to repot it and make sure the plant has some soil that can drain. Otherwise, it looks pretty good. I would say probably fertilizer and a little bit brighter light, if that's not a grow light in the lamp next to it. But it just looks a little bit wintry. It's got that poinsettia's just been cut down thing. But as long as you've got some drainage in that pot, you're going to be fine. I like it very, very much. Thanks, Bub. Appreciate that. We covered our orange tree during the cold snap, but later all the leaves fell off. Can we fertilize? No, don't fertilize right now. Wait until you are certain that it isn't going to be below 35 degrees again. Not only because if you fertilize and then we have temperatures below 40, the fertilizer will be just washed away in the rain. So that's a waste. But if you fertilize and the temperatures are warming, you'll get new growth and we'll get another cold snap, and then we're back to having to prune again. So let's not do that right now. Just wait for it. And believe it or not, the time is going to go by so fast. The time's going to go so quickly. It's hard to imagine that. For instance, if you don't prune your roses now, how are you going to prune your evergreens in 2 weeks? You got to keep up with these things. If your ornamental grasses are not already cut down, you're late. Hurry up. Go look. And if the green has already started to come up from the bottom, you're not going to be able to cut them back as much as you might have wanted to. So, and by the way, I have 3 big ones in containers. Anybody's interested? Whew, that was a big patch. But I got some help, and I got it taken care of. That's wonderful. Love, love, love. I think this is good news. It's certainly good news for me. We now have the first exhaustive study from the University of Michigan to tell us that it doesn't matter when you're over 65 so much whether you have a job that pays or is one that you have volunteered for. It's good for you to get up and get out of your world and get into something else for a period of time each week. It is really, really important to understand that you may need to do this because you need the money. We all need the money, right? But on the other hand, if you don't need the money, you're going to age better and have a healthier experience if you go ahead and give yourself something that you can devote time and interest to. You know, it could be walking your neighbor's dog 3 times a week. The point is, you might be volunteering at the library, but the point is that you're doing something outside of your own little self to make sure that you're still engaging in community. It's very important. Very, very important. And by the way, you folks in your 20s that have got your head stuck in your phone, you need to do these things too. So we want you to wake up. Come along. Get out in the garden. Oh, this is adorable. Andrew, this is so cute. I'm going to crack up. My daughter says this is Lottie's Valentine card to our family. Mom is my favorite, but you're okay too. Lottie, of course, is beautiful, beautiful poodle pup. Beautiful, beautiful dog. Lovely, lovely. Those are fun. Y'all are so kind to share all that. And this is really, somebody said, why do you like doing radio so much? And I said, well, obviously, I like the sound of my own voice to a certain extent. I mean, you have to have a little bit of that in you to do this. But it's also because gardening is a very solitary art. You spend a whole lot of time by yourself or with somebody helping you, but you're basically running your own boat and trying to figure out how you're going to get all these things done. Being able to toss ideas back and forth, being able to learn from one another, and frankly, to affirm that, yes, indeed, we have the same loves and same dislikes happens, I like, a lot in this 2 hours, as well as during the rest of the week when y'all get in touch with me there. But I think it's very important for us to learn from one another, both the mistakes, but also the good stuff. Also the good stuff. I have two stories about food today. I don't know if I'm gonna get to that today or not. But I do think that we need to look into the groove response, y'all. Speaking of staying active and being active and not just staring into your phone, or your computer, or out the window, or, you know, engaging. We always want to try and keep engaging, all right? People with musical anhedonia still derive pleasure. It's called the groove response. This the inability when the music that really suits your soul, you realize that you're moving a little bit with the music, okay? That's what we're talking about here. The groove response is so strong that it is found in even in people who don't like music particularly. Those are the people with music anhedonia. Anhedonia is a response. It would be like the people that never want to go outdoors. You know, it's like it's a thing that's kind of irrational, but it does exist. One of my son's goals, having had to mow the yard for so long, is to never have to mow the yard again. So get that with the Roomba for the backyard kind of thing. You know, there's always a way around.
Yeah, I had an idea. When would they come up with the robot goat? It does the same thing as the yard cutting. It's just a goat.
It looks much more interesting. It'd be more fun to have. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, the groove response to people that they didn't want to be hearing it, but they couldn't help but groove out to it. And I just think that's delightful. People who take no pleasure in music are a mystery to me anyhow. But if you have anhedonia, I hope this will at least make you move a little bit and gather up your groove response. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Do you ever feel like you're in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you'll always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water, on demand, warm and consistent heat, and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com today.
I feel more beautiful.
Standing on a corner,
Yes, we are here to keep you amused for a couple of hours on Saturdays. You can also listen to the rebroadcast. You can download episodes. Put us in your pocket for hours at a time.
In your ear.
If you can stand it. And we really appreciate it. I do hear from people that are, shall we say, listening to more Garden Mama lately. And that makes me very happy. So thank you for that.
It tickles me because I love it when you're happy. And I like to know that the work that we get to do here together on Saturdays is appreciated. We always want to be value added to you. You know,
we always like to rebound that.
Yeah. You know, we want to make sure what you're getting, what you want out there, the answers. And that's why that text line exists. And you know how to get in touch with Mama when she is not on air. And the newsletter is an amazing treat. So
thank you.
Plenty there to work with. And like you said, put the phone in your pocket, put your earbud in your ear, and let's roll.
That's right. That's right. All the time. I'm happy to say that this particular stretch of warm weather has added to my consulting gigs lately, and we got a lot going on in that particular world. My dear friend, and of course, Mark Peaches Patrick, that you all hear here every first part of every month, has proven himself to be even more than I knew he was. We've had some good work this week, and I appreciate that. So if you're interested in knowing what we're doing, mamaonair@yahoo.com. Come on over. And, of course, at Garden Mama Nelly on the social media. But I'm not as good about that as I am about answering emails. I don't drop something on social media every day. I think that would probably bore people. Because when people do that, I don't like it. So, oh, y'all are sweet. Y'all are now we're into the love fest. Thank you.
Well,
thank
it
you.
Is the day after Valentine's Day.
So that's right.
You deserve it.
That is absolutely right. That's fun. Oh, new jobs and new people. That's great. That's really wonderful. I've got to tell you this, y'all. This is so crazy. We grow people. We are horticulture people. We grow things. We grow plants. We grow grapes. And yes, believe it or not, we have to deal with things that happen to the grapes beyond the fungus diseases that we're so accustomed to here or anything else. We don't live where there's a lot of wildfires in our wine country, but we sure do have places in Australia as well as California that have had terrible times because it affects not only the plants, it affects the quality of the grape and therefore the wine. So what do we do? Well, we like to change those things. We want to fix them, but we also want very much to be able to do something with all those smoky grapes. Now, you may think, what in the world can I do with those smoky grapes? You find people that like smoky food, and you make wine out of it, and they buy it. So we're looking at more than $3 billion in losses from the 2020 wildfires. That's not this year. That's not the, you know, that whole area is devastated again. But I think it's a really interesting thing that we not only have had to figure out ways to deal with the plants themselves, but also the grapes and how to enhance or reduce that smoky flavor. I think it'd probably be great infused in some cheese, but I don't, you know, that's just me. However, they have also developed a spray that they go out and put onto the fruit if the fruit has formed when the fire comes, which actually protects it and prevents some of the off flavors. So that's a big deal. It's a huge amount of research and a huge amount of expenditure. But if you're losing more than $3 billion in an industry, you're probably willing to spend a few million to try and keep that from happening again. I appreciate that they did that. It makes sense to me. Now, we have another problem on the opposite end of that, and that is everything old is new again. One of the biggest problems with people of over 65 or of a certain age or living in housing where there's a whole bunch of people and you have a cafeteria and people have to be cooked for a lot of different wants and needs is people don't eat because they don't like the food. If you've ever, you know, I don't know, gone to elementary school, you might have had the same experience, but people really have those in congregate living facilities. Malnutrition is apparently very prevalent in people over 60 because they're looking for a different food. They're looking for the food that they used to like, the food that they knew before. And they say if they don't like it, they don't eat it. So when we're trying to get healthy, full of nutrient type food, but also have it be tasty and not a big pain in the wazoo to get to, well, it's a whole new thing, and we've had to add another component, the nostalgia component. This is Washington State University, rather, School of Food Science, that we want to help the prepared food industry produce appetizing, healthy meals for older adults. How about for everybody? Okay, we always need healthier, happier food, right? But the food that I was so tickled that this was the biggest thing. It's the taste, yes, but it's also the texture. If you have ever felt like everything on a plate somewhere had exactly the same mouthfeel to it, you understand what they're talking about. People just won't eat another. If the green beans are just as soft as the peas and the corn is just as soft as the squash or whatever, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to put them away. Or you're going to end up, as a cafeteria person, putting it all into a casserole, and then nobody's going to eat it. So there's all these different bits and pieces of it. But I love that they're working on this. The Washington State University says, we got to figure this out because people are malnourished and there's no reason. And by the way, giving them smoky wine won't help. So that's not the answer to this. There's no joke here. That's a real deal. Both of those things are a problem and things we've got to work with, things we've got to figure out how to do something about. We're going to keep talking about gardening, of course, around here every Saturday. We're lucky enough to be here. I don't care whether you're growing, I don't know, mayhaws. We're back to the biscuit festival, if I say mayhaws. Because, you know, you have to, if you're having the biscuit competition, you've also got to have the jelly competition. And yes, Mayhaw does make the best jelly in the world. I know, but that's when I get the emails. No, you're not right. It's this or that or the other thing. Anyway, I don't care whether you're growing, whether you're going out in the waterways and scooping up the Mayhaws or whether you're actually growing them in an orchard. Most of the time we're now, if you want to plant one, we're growing mayhaws that are grafted trees that are in bloom just about right now. And they're absolutely beautiful, beautiful trees and really do make the best jelly in the world. Yeah, I'm prejudiced. That's true. Someone asked about a quince tree the other day. Can we grow quince trees here? Yes, absolutely. I find that the same couple of people that I run into have questions about foods that are as obscure as the plants themselves. But yes, we do grow the quince. It's a very hard rind fruit. Now, what you're seeing in bloom now, the little quinces that we see that are woody shrubs, have little coral colored flowers on them or orange or other color flowers. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a quince tree. It's a different critter. It's not real popular as a front yard tree because it gets real big and the leaves drop and it, you know, you'd be raking for months. But when you can get one going, they really do make a beautiful, beautiful fruit that is very, very versatile. It does make a good jam and stuff, but it's also really good cooked or even, see, smoked. It has real good flavor to it and can be cooked into a lot of things. Someone else had asked me about so many pieces of fruit. I guess we'll have to talk about all that next week. Thank you all so very much. Appreciate you for being here. Don't remember, there's poetry in those seed catalogs, y'all. Give us a few suggestions next week, and we'll be back then for more of the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation. 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.